on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial President, Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. This is the Thursday edition, March 12th, and I appreciate you being with me, and I also appreciate Justin Klein being with me today.
Do you? Do you really appreciate it?
Not really.
Not really? Okay.
No.
At least you're honest.
I'm glad you're here.
Okay. Yeah. Saves your voice a little bit.
That's right. This hour is dedicated to education, everybody. We leave our day job as portfolio managers and put on the headphones each day to put some information and ideas in front of you.
We become professors.
I guess
or
so.
Teachers, maybe.
I don't know about professors. I don't know if we're that smart. Financial education is a never-ending process, as you know. I've said it many times. Understanding how markets work is always an ongoing process. You'll never, ever learn everything. You just won't. You've got to take an active interest in seeking out sources of information and give you some perspective. You have to continually do it. If you're going to manage your money, it is work. It's a job. But I do thank you for investing at least this 1 hour with us. And I'll try to make it worth your while. Justin and I will try to make it worth your while. Now, you need tools. And there's two basic ways to look at stocks or the stock market. One is looking at the fundamentals of the company. How much money they make, what's their profit margin, what's their sales, what's their earnings, all those things that make up the fundamentals of the company. And then there's another tool called technicals. Now, technical analysis is a study of price and history patterns of the stock prices themselves. A charting, we call it charting. What does it look like on a chart? The movement of stocks over time. And why do we look at that? Since all human emotion process does not change, there are similar patterns because everybody does the same thing over and over and over. And what you're looking for is those patterns and understanding those patterns. Now, they're not always true. I've always said that the art of charting is an art, not a science. It's an art trying to understand how things move. And you base that on how it has moved in the past. And, of course, there's always problems with that. You're trying to predict what happened in the past for the future. That's pretty hard. It's looking in the crystal ball. It's very, very difficult. Now, for beginner investors, getting started is pretty easy. We do have a book list on investtalk.com, which includes beginner and advanced books, and is a place that you can take your first steps if you're a beginner. We also simplify investing process for our clients on a daily basis via our multiple investment programs and personalized expert advice. And we try to help everybody we can. And, of course, our clients come first. The more you know, the more you'll discover that you need to continue to learn. So don't think it's going to stop, that you'll learn everything and then it ends. It does not work that way.
Yeah, the more you know, the more obviously potential areas that you're doing your research, and the more information that's going to be thrown at you, you'll realize that there's a lot of information out there, and some of it you really should pay attention to, but others you should probably ignore.
So if you don't want to learn this, that's okay, but then maybe you should not try to manage your own money. Hire a professional, whether it's us, of course we want you to hire us, or somebody else, because if you don't have the time or the interest, then you're going to fail. It's as simple as that.
It happens time after time. I mean, yeah. we get new clients, you know, every single month that they've tried to do it themselves, and either they eventually realize they don't have time. That's how most of our clients come to us, is they realize that the information you need, the time, the resources, the experience, the discipline is just not within their bailiwick, as you would say.
Most people have a real job, other job. This is another job. So unless you have the time, the interest, you're not. But if you do have the time and you do have the interest and you like doing it, you can learn. You can learn to do it. But for those who don't do it. And, of course, we try to answer questions every day on this show about anybody and everybody's money life. And we want to hear from you, your opinions. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our number is 888-99-CHART. I hope you can use that number and give us a call right now. Let's take the first question on our 24-hour listen line.
I do invest in stocks, and I have a question regarding, am I better off trying options instead of waiting for my returns on the stock? Thank you so much.
I would say no. Why I say no is not because you can't do it with options. It's because it's a lot harder with options. It takes a lot more work, effort, and education.
Yeah, and options are another layer. I mean, first you have to understand what stocks you're dealing with, or ETFs or whatever that you're dealing with. And then you have to understand options, which is another layer on top of that. What are the option strategies? What is time value in an option? And there's a lot of others. There's alpha and delta, and there's all these different indicators that you have to understand if you're going to trade options.
And try to remember, there's always someone on the opposite side of any trade, whether stocks or options, and that person on the other side is trying to make money just as hard as you are, and they may have a lot more experience than you.
Yeah. So, people get lured into the option game because they see, oh, you can make 800% in a very short period of time on options, right? Well, what they don't realize is that usually it's a very small percentage of a portfolio. And if it's not, they're taking too much risk because 85% of options expire worthless. So you go buy an option, there's an 85% chance that you're going to get the return on that purchase is going to be zero. And most people don't realize that.
888-99-CHART. Of course, we try to answer the questions that come up on the money every day. So we really would like to listen to your question. Give us a call. First-time investors need an online trading site. Everybody needs something to trade. And if you're a first-time investor, we have some suggestions for you. And we're going to talk about three specific trading sites that are pretty good for beginners. So that's going to be one of our talking points today. And do you know what the household net worth has climbed to? How about $1.5 trillion?
Did you talk about the chart that I gave you last week? It was on, remember it was net, I don't know if it was net worth, but it was total assets to GDP. Remember that one?
Yes.
Did you talk about that on the air?
I don't think so. No.
It's just basically talking about the total assets. I think it was household net worth.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I did talk about that.
Yeah, and it was the highest
to GDP
level.
And it's high. Yeah. Huge. So this is another look at that type of stat. Yeah. We're going to go into a little bit more detail. And these big U.S. companies could be stung by the rising dollar. With the dollar rising, there's going to be some pressure on some of the bigger companies. And I have a list. It was produced by MarketWatch. Philip Van Dorn wrote this article. The stocks are going to be affected by quite a bit with the high dollar. Remember, when you have a big company and it's selling internationally, the high dollar versus that other currency could hurt their bottom line in earnings.
Yeah, so that's one. There's three ways the stronger dollar can hurt our economy. One is, like you talked about just now, the multinationals, companies that do a lot of business overseas. Then there's the ones that are competing with other companies that are overseas, right? Their products all of a sudden, so the dollar goes up 20%. People outside the U.S. who are buying products from U.S. companies, those products are now 20% more expensive, generally. Obviously, depends on which currency. And then you go to workers. Individual workers are now, U.S. workers cost 20% more for companies than employees outside the country. So remember how you talked before how there's kind of onshoring, everyone's bringing their manufacturing here to the U.S.? And I'm sure that's still to an extent, but if it's labor intensive, all of a sudden, these other countries might become more attractive because it's 20% cheaper over there for labor.
And especially with energy coming down. That used to be one of our big advantages, our cheap energy. But if all energy prices are coming down,
it
reduces our
less,
advantage.
Less competitive.
And I still want to get to, besides the Apple Watch, the iWatch that came out, for 2 days now I've been wanting to talk about what else is going on with Apple. And is the bull market old? And I haven't been able to get to that, too. I am definitely going to get to those things today.
I have a couple Twitter questions as well.
Uh-oh.
So we got a Twitter question and an email that came
to us. We're under time pressure. A regular checkup of your retirement portfolio is more than a good idea. It's really essential. I've done a number of these just this week. And I make this more than a suggestion. I commit at least a couple of days a month to do this in the Bay Area. I'll be in San Ramon on March 17th, San Jose on March 18th. That's next week. So if you want to reserve a time with me, give me a call. Or go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting there. You'll see that button. And I'll make sure our staff gets back to you and set up an appointment to meet with me. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Good. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Good, as always. I have a question. I don't hear this question a lot on your show. I don't know if it's ever come up at all. I'm sure it has, but I'm curious about maybe investing somewhere along the way in maybe a medical marijuana company. I think maybe there might be some future in that, an investment like that.
Well, I've had a couple of questions, not very often, about this, and there's a bit of a problem. Various states have legalized medical marijuana, okay, California being one where I am, but various states have, but it's still against the federal law, the drugs. So there's very few opportunities. You know, you're not going to find a public company trading on an exchange that is a medical marijuana company growing crops and that kind of thing. It's just, you're just not going to see it because it's against federal law. So it's going to be difficult to invest in it. It's not as simple let me go find a stock that does this.
Yeah, there are some penny stocks out there, but it's hard to, you know, they're very low volume. There's hard to find a lot of financial information on those names. So that's really the biggest issue, is how do you get enough information to know whether this is a good company? I think it's going to be a slow slog. While I do think over time it will become more and more legalized, and it is. There's additional states. It seems like almost every 6 months or a year now that are legalizing it. You know, when is it going to become legal on a federal level? It's hard to know. But you know, right now the hardest thing I think is just finding good information about these names. And which ones are the best ones, and which ones can you buy?
We don't recommend or buy penny stocks. It's too dangerous. And many of them are on the pink sheets, meaning they're not on it. You can't find them. You can't trade them.
I mean, there's a lot of penny stocks. There's a ton of them out there. It's just hard to find, like I said, a lot of information on them.
Joe, appreciate the call. I'm not. I'm sorry. James, appreciate the call. Thank you. Let's go to Joe in Modesto. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, Steve. I listen to your show almost every day. I think it's a great show, very informative.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got a question about the Fed's raising the raising the interest rates.
Okay.
I'm wondering why investors are so worried about it, because interest rates are cyclical, and won't ultimately raising the interest rates cool down the dollar and make our products look more attractive overseas?
Well, raising interest rates means that the Fed thinks that our economy may be overheating. That's generally why they start to raise them. Right now, they're extremely low, and eventually raising rates would slow down the economy. But right now, the Fed is thinking about raising rates while everybody else, every other central federal banker out there, Europe, Japan, everywhere else, they're trying to lower their rates or reduce their rates in some way. So rising dollar is really a bad impact.
Yeah, I think let's keep this call going after the break.
Okay, Joe, hold on. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Pisa with Justin Klein today. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach us right now on any money topic. Give us a call.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And Steve hopes you'll sign up for our free wealth webinar coming up next week on March 19th, The Upside of Lower Oil Prices. Is the lower price of oil an opportunity for you? Are there oil industry stocks that are priced right now? Again, it's coming up March 19th, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, but you need to sign up on investtalk.com.
Joe, maybe I misunderstood your question. Why don't you ask again? Justin thinks I didn't answer the question you asked, so.
Okay. Everybody's worried about our interest rates going up. The Fed's raising the interest rates. I mean, and I can understand that they're worried about the economy cooling down a little bit. But won't that ultimately make our cool down the dollar that's rising against every currency out there and make our products more palatable for overseas markets?
No, that's the exact opposite. Yeah, so when, as interest rates are going, as you, they're trying to raise interest rates, which is exact opposite, like of what Steve said, is what all the other central banks are doing, which I think I read something that was like 20-something central banks just since the beginning of the year have lowered their interest rates. So we're threatening to do the exact opposite of what everyone else does. And when that happens, that means we're having tighter monetary policy, means that's why our dollar is being driven up. And so that's really what I think a lot of people are worried about. Higher dollar makes our economy less competitive globally. And, you know, higher interest rates also can have a cooling effect on a lot of activities that are pretty hot right now, like corporate borrowing, right? Because the corporations are borrowing a lot of money. What are they doing with it? They're buying back their stock. High-yield bonds are very popular, and that's allowing almost any company under the sun to keep borrowing money. And, you know, if interest rates are higher, that's going to cost a little bit more.
It's pretty simple. You can even make it more simple than that. If our interest rates are going from 2% to 2.25%, in other words, you get a yield on our treasury, our 10-year treasury, if it starts to go up, and in Europe you can buy a euro and the interest rate that the sovereign governments will pay is zero or less, wouldn't you rather buy our debt versus their debt? And wouldn't that make our U.S. dollar go up? And that's what's happening.
Okay. I guess it sounds pretty clear then.
Yeah, so that's what happened. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Now if the stronger dollar, higher interest rates do cool off our economy and it forces the Fed to go the other way, then that could definitely weaken the dollar.
Yeah, but right now that's not what they see. That's not what the traders and investors see happening. Okay. Let's go to Mark in Northern California. How you doing, Mark?
Hey, great show, guys. I love it when you guys disagree, cordially disagree.
Yeah.
Well,
Justin's often wrong. I have to correct him.
We don't want to see you guys agree all the time.
No, I know. It's boring when you agree. It is boring.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm calling about, in general, about the financials. You think they finally turn a corner, then I specifically want to know about Schwab. I think the numbers are just awesome.
I just read today that financials have the highest dividend yield now of any sector. Did you see that, Justin?
Because now they allowed them to
raise dividends, you know, all the banks that were
of any size, even utilities.
That's what they said. It said it was just before it came out. I didn't get the chance to read the whole article. And it said, that's pretty amazing.
When are you guys going to turn? When are you guys going to turn and get favorable to the financials?
Well, you know, Charles Schwab is. And when I think of financials, there are various sectors of financials. You know, there's insurance companies, there's banks. There's brokerage companies, you know, investment banks like Charles Schwab. So, you know, I think banks are very different than Charles Schwab, especially in this day and age of Dodd-Frank. There's a lot more oversight and regulation around the banking industry. Charles Schwab is not a bank. They're a brokerage firm. They have some, you know, quasi-banking functionality, but they're a financial service company. So when I look at Charles Schwab, I like the general business, that sector of the financial industries, much better than banks.
And Schwab is going to make decent money. It's growing. It's making pretty good money. It's going to make $1.09 a share this year and $1.55 next year. So it's up 14% this year and then a 42% next year. But it's not a cheap stock. You know, if you're looking at just this year's earnings, you're talking about it's a 30-31 P.E. Next year is going to be 20. And its five-year average is 14 to 34. So it's not cheap because it is a pretty solid company and doing well.
Yeah. So I think it's an expensive stock, just generally. Not, I wouldn't say it's crazy expensive.
No.
But, you know, next year's earnings is $1.55. You know, price right now is 31. So you're talking about a 20 P.E., which is a little elevated, but not too crazy. The biggest risk with Charles Schwab is always, you know, the market in this sector. If the market goes down, this is going to go down by multitudes of the market because, you know, money will be flowing out of equities. People will be worried trying to get safer. And so it's going to have a lot more volatility. And you see the beta of 1.67, meaning it's about two-thirds more volatile than the overall market.
Mark, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Is the bull market old? Now, it depends on what you count from. Now, do you count from 2009 on? Is that the length of the bull market from there? That's what most people use. But what if that 20% correction, it was 21.6% for the S&P in April to October 2011.
Yep.
Now, that was intraday low, by the way. At closing, it was only 19 point something percent.
So do they count it?
Because a bear market is 20% or more, right? That's a bear market.
But is that closing?
I don't know. That's the whole point is, well, can you count that? If you count from 2011 forward, it's not as long as it would be from 2009, you see. So is this a really old bull market or not? And I don't have an answer. This is Invest Talk. If you have any questions, give us a call. 888-99-CHART. We have an email. We're going to answer a question. We've got a couple of them here this hour we want to get to.
This comes from Twitter.
Oh, this is a Twitter. Okay, yeah, Twitter, great. Question. I have been waiting to buy into index funds since December. Do you think it's a good time? You know, this is probably it's almost impossible to say, because we are in the middle of a mini correction right now, and even despite today's big move up, I think the market was up, 225 points or something?
Yeah, it was a good day on the Dow. The S&P was about 1% day on the S&P.
Yeah, 260 on the Dow, 43 on the NASDAQ, and 26. So when you say, is it a good time? I think the market is a little expensive, but I could get a lot more expensive. It doesn't mean it's going to turn around.
Yeah, when you say it's a good time, what time frame are you thinking of? It's a good time for the next 2 months, 3 months, the next 2-3 years, or the next 10, 20 years?
If you're talking 10, 20 years, yeah, you can buy now. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But you might want to take like a dollar cost average approach, not dump it all in, because no one knows if it's at a top. Is it done correcting, or is it in correction? No one knows that. No one. So, I would stop sitting on the sidelines. You could wait for a deeper correction. One will come around sometime, but we don't know when. Yeah.
The odds are very good. Within the next 2-3 years, you'll be able to buy the indexes, right? Because he's talking about the indexes, at lower prices than they are today.
Yes.
There's a very good chance, very, very good chance, the next 2-3 years. But the big question is, it could be 3 years from now, and you're missing out on the upside for those times. So,
yeah, it just reminds me of the 1990s. Mm-hmm. From 1995 to 2000, there was some famous bear market predictor saying, no, the market's going to collapse, Meanwhile, they missed out on a huge run up, and the market did collapse. Mm-hmm. And eventually they were right. Mm-hmm. But no one knows when. That's really the trick here. Okay, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, though.
The Twitter
message.
That was from Clayton.
Let's go to Eric in Los Angeles. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing great, Steve. How you doing, man?
Thanks. Thanks for listening to us on podcast. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. I love all the information you guys give. I'm calling in because I have a 401k from an old company I used to work for.
Okay.
And I keep getting offers from I have an account with ShareBuilder. And they keep sending me offers to roll over my old 401ks and get, a little bit of cash incentive if I bring over so much money and stuff like that. I wanted to know advantages, disadvantages of, rolling them over. If I roll them over, am I going to have to sell off all my positions with the old company and then purchase new positions at the new rolled over 401k and ShareBuilder, or how does that work?
Okay. When someone leaves an employer, you have an old 401k, you have the option many times to leave it there. Sometimes they won't let you leave it there, but most of the time you can leave it there. Or the option is you can roll it over into a rollover an IRA, or roll it over into an existing IRA that you have and combine accounts. What are the benefits? The benefits is that you have unlimited choices when you roll it over to an IRA. You can roll it over in anything. You can buy anything you want. Whereas the old 401k, you're usually limited mutual funds only and a certain choice. And when you do roll it over, most of the time you have to sell what you have and you got to go buy new stuff. And you may not want to do that. You can also roll an old 401k into your new 401k. I don't recommend that, but you can do it. And why don't I recommend it? Because a new 401k has limited choices as well, most of the time.
Right. Yeah.
So it is a good idea.
In my case, would you recommend rolling it over?
Yes, I would. Roll it over to an IRA, and if you have an existing IRA, combine them. Keep your life simple, because it gives you more freedom. I like the more freedom to buy and sell what I want. There's no tax consequences. Thank you, Eric. And everybody else, there's no tax consequences from selling what you have in the old 401k and buy something new in the new. There's no tax issues. There's no capital gains tax or anything.
And I would recommend him rolling it over with us and us managing it.
Yeah, well, that'd be nice.
That'd be it.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's talk about, Justin, the various websites. There's several for beginners that look pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. And we get this question all the time. I get this regularly. Yeah, you know, where do I want to set up an account, especially for younger people that I know that don't really are just starting to save. Where do I set up an account?
And my usual answer is Scottrade, but I like E-Trade. E-Trade is is rated number one best overall. Mm-hmm. And it's a $9.99 trade, a minimum deposit $500. And the reason why I like Scottrade is because it's cheaper trading cost.
Yeah, that's $7. $7 a trade, yeah.
Yeah, but both of them have very, very good websites, yeah. Very easy to use.
The problem with Scottrade is your minimum is $2,500. And a lot of beginners don't have $2,500. Usually it's $500.
True.
And E-Trade, that's their minimum $500. And TD Ameritrade, there's no minimum. But those are $10 a trade.
So there's your three top that probably, you know, as a beginner you should consider, and that's E-Trade, Scottrade, and TD Ameritrade.
Yeah, and they all give you pretty good educational tools. You know, which one's better, I think, is user preference.
Yeah, they're all good. Let's put it that way. They're all good. Now, if you haven't joined our Invest Talk Insider program, well, I have a question for you. Why not? No cost. It doesn't cost anything. And if you're a member, if you are a member, you get access to a lot of free extra information, webinars, library webinars,
chart lessons,
all kinds of things.
ETF lists, stock lists.
Yeah, so you can sign up for free by going to InvestTalk, InvestTalk.com, and click on the Invest Talk Insider program on investtalk.com. That's two T's.
You work hard for your money. Why isn't it working harder for you?
In looking at the chart, do you have to look at this the opposite of like a normal stock?
Ask your question. 888-99-CHART is the number. This is Invest Talk on radio and investtalk.com. Our listener line is open 24/7 for your questions. Hear the answer live on radio and online 4 to 5. Or the playback anytime on investtalk.com.
Yeah, hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles. I was wondering if for starting a college fund, if it's wise to stick with a 529 plan, even though that their tax-exempt status may be revoked in the coming years. Thank you.
Well, I don't really think that is a reason not to start a 529 plan, because that's all speculation whether it be revoked. And frankly, I don't think it will be, because too many people have entered the 529. And for everybody else, what's a 529 program? There's two types of accounts you can open for education for your kids, a 529 and a Coverdell. 529, you put money in there, and the growth of that money is never taxed, no capital gains.
Same with the Coverdell, but the Coverdell's limits are lot lower,
$2,000 a year. And 529 is, what, 15,000?
Yeah, it's a lot higher. Coverdale is a little more flexible,
right?
Because you can use it for trade schools and things like that. But a Coverdale or a 529, you can put a lot more money in, which in today's day and age, you need.
Yeah,
you know, I think the average private school is now $45,000 a year.
Yeah, but 529 program, you know, if your kid is, you know, a junior in high school, it's not worth it, because you need some time to grow that money. The only benefit is the growth you never had to pay taxes on. So you have to use it for education. You know, so once you put it in there, and there's a detriment to you if you're applying for student loans and things, because you have to use that money up first. Mm-hmm. There's a rules. I'm not I'm not conversant with all the rules, but I know there are.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll be revoked. I think it'd be too much of an uproar.
Yeah.
And I think even Obama tried to propose, it wasn't a 529 plans, but it was some other type of tax break, investment tax break, and everyone went crazy over it. I forget the exact which type of account it was, and he immediately backtracked.
Yeah, I think I think the 529, the Coverdell, kind of untouchable at this
point. Yeah,
exactly. Time for InvestTalk 101, getting down to the basics. What is a mutual fund? When are they better than buying individual stocks? The Business Insider defines a mutual fund this way. In essence, mutual fund investing is about trusting your money to a professional investment manager and letting them take investment decisions for you. Okay, so a mutual fund is nothing more than a basket defined of what they're going to invest in that basket, what they're going to buy to put in that basket, and you're buying the basket, the mutual fund. The manager that manages that basket is who you're putting your trust into. And there's what? How many? 20,000 different mutual funds out there?
Yeah, it's crazy.
In every part of every little sliver. So your job is to pick a good manager. Mm-hmm. That's your job. Okay, in the area that you want to be.
Not only are there tens of thousands of mutual funds out there, but different fund classes too.
Big cap, small cap, mid cap, growth, value.
Well, I'm saying you could have the same fund, but it can be, is it investor class
share? Oh, I see.
Or is it A class, C class?
That all goes to how much fees you pay.
Yeah, and is there a load? Is it back end loaded? And that's what I'm seeing a lot more often these days is back-end loaded funds, B-shares.
Sneaky.
Actually. Yeah. Oh, it's not going to cost you anything to buy it, but guess what? You're locked in because if you sell it, you get charged a fee, and a lot of people don't want to get charged that 2, 3, 4, 5% back-end load.
Yeah, the most common is C-shares,
where
it's 1% a year for 5 years. And if you sell it before 5 years, you got to pay the full 5%, 1% the first year, and you sell it the second, you got to pay 4% more before you get your money out. So be very careful. Pure no-load funds is the route to go because there's just as many of those that are loaded.
Yeah, there's tons of great no-loaded funds out there.
Yeah. So don't consider loaded funds, but you should consider mutual funds if you want to hire a manager. Otherwise, you can use ETFs that mostly are almost 99.99% of them are not managed. They're just following an index of some kind.
Exactly.
And that's InvestTalk 101. Do you have more questions about mutual funds? Give us a call or click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin. Justin likes to answer these types of questions. You can do that on InvestTalk.com.
One of our free InvestTalk information services is our free risk analysis tool. It's a do-it-yourself guide to learning more about your capacity for investing risk. It's the first step in getting you in sync with your investments. Just look for the blue box with the free risk analysis tool on InvestTalk.com.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
We had an email from Jin, who's asking, he said, "Hi, Steve or Justin, I have 300 shares of VRA, Vera Bradley, in my IRA, which I bought at $23 a share. Took a big dive today, and this was yesterday. I'm wondering if I should hold on until it recovers, or there's no future in this stock. Appreciate your opinion."
And the dive was because of earnings. It missed. Pretty good.
Yeah, and earnings are in a pretty steady downtrend. Made $1.70 back in 2013. Looks like an all-time high in earnings. 2015, they make $1 a share. Supposed to go up 19% to $1.19 in 2016, then up again in 2017. But if you look at earnings, for the past 7 quarters, you've had falling sales and falling earnings earnings.
So how can they, Justin, answer the question of how they can increase their earnings the next 2 years when sales are going down?
Yeah, it's hard for me to see this. And you're paying a 15 P ratio. That's very high to me for a company that has falling earnings, falling sales. And, this is they make handbags, accessories for women. That's a pretty competitive space.
Yeah. The bit positives, there are positives. I don't want to be too negative. There's no debt or very little debt. And management owns like 40% of the company.
Yeah, so they have a very large incentive to turn this company around. But the big question is, how are they going to do it? So
based, I wouldn't buy it.
Based on our analysis here, very surface level, I don't see anything that I would like about this company except the fact that they are still making money, which gives them time to turn it around. But will they turn around the long term? That depends on the strategy and whether that's successful.
Let's go to Francisco in Walnut Creek. How you doing, Francisco?
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
A real quick question. My daughter came to me just about a month ago and said, hey, I want to start investing for my future. Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes me really happy to
hear
that
she wants. How old is she?
She just turned 22.
Okay.
And she, you know, she's at college. She's now got a full-time job. She's doing her thing.
Okay.
But she wants to invest $100 a month. And I just heard your comment on the show about, you know, E-Trade, Ameritrade, TD, mm-hmm. you know. And you guys said, well, you know, you're going to pay $7 or $8 a night, I forget the number, for a trade.
Right.
But if she puts $100 a month into one of these and she buys at $100 of, say, some ETF index fund of some sort.
Right.
She's got to get more than, if it's $7 on $100, she's got to get better than 7%. On her return just to break even.
That's right.
Is there a vehicle or a mechanism for her to invest?
Well, this is what
monthly without having those costs?
Well, what she can do and what I would suggest you do, she puts the $100 a month in the money market, not buy anything until she gets maybe $500.
Yeah.
And then buy something with a $7 trade.
Yeah. I would even say $1,000. And okay. What I would do is have her open a Roth IRA because she's young. She probably isn't making a ton of money. She's probably in a lower tax bracket. So I would have her open up a Roth IRA at one of these brokerage firms, put in $100 a month, and when she gets to $1,000, then go out there and buy something.
And then it just has a $7, $9 trade. Do you see how?
Yeah. So you don't do it. You know, you don't do it every month. You just accumulate that money, and every $1,000, then go out there and
but do set up the account.
Yeah.
Set up the account. Put the money away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's the best way to do it.
Okay.
Thanks, Francisco.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks for the call.
I think it was TD Ameritrade that had no minimum. So
yeah,
that's the one you can
go to.
Yeah, that's the one you go to because the other ones have a $500 minimum or $2,500.
Okay, let's get your question answered right now. We'll do it right today. We still have time. 888-99-CHARGE, how you can get in touch with us. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley with Justin Klein today. When you're at InvestTalk Insider, you have new opportunities to learn more with more concise, simplified reports that I write, Justin writes. We all write these things. We all have different lessons on it. It's really something to your life. It's free on investtalk.com.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Many of us shy away from the subject because we don't think we know too much. The truth is, we're wrong. Why don't you talk about money? That's our talking point next time. Be sure to join us tomorrow on Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Okay, these are some of the big companies that are going to have real problems with the dollar being so strong, which Justin and I were just talking about, and we kind of disagree with. I think the dollar is going to stay strong. I think it's peaking. I think it'll pull back to some degree, but I think overall it's just going to stay strong with other currencies. Justin thinks it's going to be weaker going forward.
I think we're getting near a nadir or a peak.
We'll see. Anyways, corporations make money. We're talking about large companies make money both in the U.S. and outside the U.S. So what corporations outside the U.S. are going to get hurt the worst? Or at least what are the top so many? I'm going to give you 20. 20 of them.
Have we heard of every single one?
I believe I have. I mean, most people I'm sure have. McDonald's is number one.
And how are they ranking this?
These numbers. The problem is that in this report, how they rank these, is that a lot of companies don't break out their foreign earnings from domestic earnings.
Okay.
So some of these numbers are not right, so I'm not going to tell people how much they are because it's not right. But these companies have significant earnings overseas. McDonald's is one of them at 68% earnings overseas. And Coca-Cola is another. Coca-Cola, Philip Morris, Qualcomm, Broadcom, Texas Instrument, Lam Research, Altria Group, Diamond Offshore Drilling, NVIDIA, Micron Technology, SanDisk, Intel. Notice there's a lot of tech companies. Mm-hmm. Microchip Technology, Western Digital, Mondelez, which is a food company, Applied Materials, Yum Brands. And Yum Brands is Kentucky Fried Chicken and Taco Bell. Corning and KLA Tencor Corporation. Some of those companies. What I am suggesting is that if you're investing in starting a new investment, you need to consider in a company that you're buying, how much money do they make overseas, and what is the strong dollar going to do to their earnings? You realize the first two quarters of this year, earnings are negative. The estimates for corporations, the S&P 500.
The first what?
The earnings are negative. Earnings projections are down.
For the entire year?
No, just the first two quarters.
Just two quarters, yeah.
So for the entire year, it's up 20%. That makes no sense.
It's so common. And I talked about this today because if you look at the earnings projections for the whole year, I think it's combined. It's up 2% now, where 6 months ago it was up
9%. Yeah.
And this is how analysts are. They always project out going forward. They're always way optimistic. And as you get closer and closer to those ends of those quarters, to the earnings reports, they slowly downgrade their earnings projections. So if it's 2% now for the entire year, and we're slightly over 2 months into the year, I think there's a very good chance, especially with the strong dollar, that for the year, S&P earnings is down.
I think it's very possible.
I think it's very possible.
I do too. So, by the way, everybody, just because I think that doesn't mean the market is going to go down. You would think logically it would.
Just like most people think that if GDP goes up for a particular country, then all the investments in that country, that's a good investment.
No, that's totally wrong.
Totally wrong.
They don't match up that way. Don't think in those terms. They don't match up. Always thinking going forward. I mean, by the end of this year, the earnings could be flat or down, but the investors at that time will be looking to next year. And will they be up then? You see. We have time for one more question before the day is done. 888-99-CHART is our anytime line.
Hi, I have a question concerning a stock. I'd like your valuation for Seaboard. The symbol is SEB. I'd appreciate your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Seaboard Corporation out of Shawnee Mission, Kansas, engaged in pork production, ocean transportation, commodity merchandising, sugar production, and power generation. Now, there is some diversified industries in one company. Mm-hmm. Okay,
we've owned this before for our managed accounts.
It is almost a $5 billion company, so it's big. It does $1.6 billion in a quarter in sales. So, you know, from a price-to-sales ratio, it's pretty reasonable.
Very little debt. Management owns 76% of shares.
Yeah, which is a ton.
And most people are going to say, well, it trades for $4,075 a share. That's an expensive stock.
When it's not.
It's not.
It's not cheap, but it certainly isn't expensive.
Yeah, I would say it's fairly priced at these levels. But the chart looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I think long-term holder, this would be fine. Before we close for the hour, you've heard us talk about our webinar coming up. It is next week, March 19th at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. The upside of lower oil prices. You can register now on investtalk.com. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley with Justin Klein. And for everybody at KPP Financial, we want to thank you for listening. And let's hook up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.